might be surprised to learn that a majority of Americans are satisfied with their health care insurance, but the rest are more than a little dissatisfied. Hi, I'm Rob West. A vocal minority of health insurance policyholders are frustrated with their insurers for any number of legitimate reasons. If you're in this group, you don't want to miss today's show. Lauren Gydeck joins us with details about an efficient, affordable alternative to health insurance. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, our guest, Lauren Gydeck, is the Vice President of Communications and Radio at Christian Healthcare Ministries, the oldest faith-based medical cost-sharing organization in the country and an underwriter of this program. She always brings a message of hope to those who are frustrated with traditional health insurance. Lauren, great to have you back.
So good to be back on the show with you. Thank you.
Lauren, we're going to talk about the blessing that medical cost sharing can be, but you hear from many folks who are, in fact, fed up with traditional health insurance. What are the typical reasons they give?
Well, there are a few. You know, the policies that they have can be complicated. That would be one thing. Whereas at CHM, we have worked to make all of our programs more similar as far as what we'll share for. But also, you know, I think one of the biggest issues is something that's really behind the scenes, and that is that there's no pricing transparency. So you, as the patient, don't really understand what you're being charged for your health care. And what that does is it drives up the cost of health care, and then insurance will pass that along to their policyholders. And that's why you hear stories of, you know, these deductibles that are, you know, $5,000, $10,000, $15,000. And it's a real issue. So at CHM, we really do believe in pricing transparency.
Yeah, that's really helpful. Now, when I opened the program, I was drawing from a recent survey by the Kaiser Family Foundation, and it found that most Americans actually rate their health insurance as good or even excellent. But there are some real qualifications to that, aren't there?
Yeah, I would say so. You know, it's one of those things where people generally seem to be pretty happy with it if they haven't had to use it. So, you know, they might have some subsidies from the government on the healthcare exchanges, and but when they have actual experience with submitting a claim and going through that process, that's when you find a lot of dissatisfied and unhappy customers.
Yeah, and that doesn't speak to very well to the health insurance companies. The more you engage, the more dissatisfied you are. Now, Christian Healthcare Ministries offers a night and day difference, in my opinion, to health insurance, and you all have been doing this for a really long time. So just give us a quick snapshot of the history of CHM.
Absolutely. Well, CHM is an alternative to health insurance, and we've been around for a long time. So we were founded over 40 years ago in 1981, and during that time, we have satisfied nearly $12 billion in medical bills. That's billion with a B.
Wow.
And people are just, you know, like you said, they're fed up with insurance and how they're treated through those companies, and they're looking for something that aligns with their faith and upholds their values. And so that's where CHM steps in.
Well, a lot of our listeners have found it to be a perfect fit for them. But if they're just hearing about it for the first time, share with them how medical cost sharing works.
Yeah, I'd be glad to do that. So like I said, it's not insurance, so there is no contract. And members are considered to be self-pay, which is a little bit scary, sounds a little scary at first. But again, I point to our long history, and we do share 100% of medical bills that qualify according to our guidelines. We have multiple programs that people can choose from, you know, from all the way from $98 a month up to $255 a month per person. And you can actually have different family members participate at different programs. So you can really mix and match what we offer to meet your budget and, you know, to meet your healthcare needs, which is really nice.
It really is. And it's a wonderful blessing because there's no network. You can choose your provider and the savings are passed on to the patients. Lauren, always appreciate your partnership and your time. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Folks, if you want to learn more, go to chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi. That was Lauren Gydeck with Christian Healthcare Ministries. Back with your calls after this. Stick around.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
It's important to focus on what's right in front of us, our families, churches, and communities, but God's heart is also global, and the gospel isn't just for one country or culture, but for the whole world. Peter came to this realization when he preached to the Gentile household of Cornelius. Paul said, "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right." And since God will accept any who come to him through Christ on the basis of faith, what should we do? Well, we can pray, we can give in support of global missions, and perhaps even go ourselves to share the good news of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll get more daily encouragement for your walk with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Every weekday, strengthen your family and your faith with Family Talk.
I had the same brain when I was at the bottom of the class that I had at the top of the class. Exactly the same brain, but a different attitude. What does that tell us about our responsibility to develop the intellect of the people and our spheres of influence?
Don't miss Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson every weekday at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. Central on AFR.
We are grateful for support from Crossmark Global Investments. They are a faith-based firm with a goal of offering values-based investments to help align financial choices and faith, ensuring a portfolio that reflects what matters most. Crossmark does this through investment solutions that span the capital market spectrum, from large cap to small cap strategies, including equity, fixed income, and balanced strategies. They are led by industry veteran Bob Dahl, CFA, a regular guest on the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at crossmarkglobal.com.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services LLC.
Grateful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Looking forward to taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. That number to call, 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you today. Whatever's on your mind, financially speaking, let's tackle that. You know, we often hear from you on issues around how do we think about wealth transfer, and do we need a trust or a will? What does that look like? Or perhaps for you, it's some debt that has just been stubborn. You've not been able to get it paid down. You're wondering the best path forward. Perhaps it's credit card debt. You know, we're at an all-time high right now with credit card debt, and many folks just wondering, how do I tackle this? Is debt consolidation the best approach? Perhaps debt settlement? What about debt management? I've heard about credit counseling. Perhaps that's for me, but I just don't know. Well, if that's the boat you're in, you can call right now, 800-525-7000. Again, that number, 800-525-7000. We'll look forward to tackling those financial questions today and helping you navigate managing God's resources for God's glory. And that's really our goal here on this program each day. Again, that number, 800-525-7000. You know, as we think about our role as stewards, we want to make sure that we understand the implications of stewardship, because when we start with this idea, and it really is the foundational idea above everything else, that God is the owner and we're the manager, there are real implications to that. Psalm 24:1 says it plainly, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein." And then in 1 Corinthians 4:7, Paul reminds us that what we have is a gift from God. And while I think it's easy to give head consent to that, head knowledge to it, and say, yeah, God owns everything, living it out requires a pretty profound shift in how we view money and possessions, and how we think about it is ultimately how we'll behave with regard to those decisions that we make on a daily basis. The reality is God is not a consultant or a silent partner. He's the owner. And so our job is faithfulness to opportunity. What have you done with what you've been given? Because the Lord has entrusted us with the management of His resources for His purpose. And that management idea is a big one, because the word in Greek for steward really translates household manager. And so just as a household manager oversees a home on behalf of the owner, we manage God's resources. We own nothing, but we're responsible for everything under our care. And this is not just a financial issue. You know, we're stewards of our time and our relationships and our talents and God's word and so much more, but it certainly does include God's money. So we'll talk in just a moment about some of those practical implications of stewardship if we're going to translate this beyond just the head knowledge to really how we act and handle God's money. It should become obvious if we understand God owns it all. Let's head to the phones, though. We've got lines open. Calls are coming in, but we've got room for you. If you have a financial question today, call right now. Our team is standing by, 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. You can call right now. All right, Brandon's in Texas. Brandon, you'll be our first caller, sir. Go ahead.
Good morning. So my question is about debt relief. I'm not sure what to do. I've got about $26,000 in credit card debt from the time I was 18. I'm about to be 40, looking to get that down and take it care of.
Absolutely, Brandon. So are you just paying the minimums on that right now?
So I have not kept up with it very much lately.
Okay. Yeah. So are they just in collections, or what's the status of this debt currently?
Collection. It's in collections.
Okay. Yeah. And do you have the ability, like, for instance, you know, typically we'd see around a 3% monthly payment on the balance. So that'd be pushing $800 a month. I mean, if you had a plan and you felt like it was actually going to start, you know, in a meaningful way, pulling the balances down, do you have the ability to do upwards of $800 a month?
Not at the moment, no. I'm starting a new business. I've been kind of working on it for the last 2 years. Things are picking up, but they're not to that point yet.
Yeah, got it. All right. Well, my preferred approach is what's called debt management, where these cards would be moved into a credit counseling program. Now, they stay with the existing creditor. So if you're with Capital One, you stay with Capital One. If you're with Chase, you stay with Chase. But each of those credit card companies have a credit counseling department, and they have a credit counseling rate. And so what happens is the interest rate that right now is probably, especially because of the missed payments and you're in a collection status, they're probably up at the highest end. I mean, these things could be 25% plus, which is just, you know, causing these balances to continue to rise with penalties and interest. But they would be re-aged. And so as soon as you go into credit counseling, now all of a sudden the account is re-aged, you're brought current, and then the interest rate is dropped. So let's say it's at 25, 26%, it would go down, and each creditor has its own credit counseling rate, but let's say it was between 0 and 10%. And then you send a monthly payment through a nonprofit credit counseling agency to each of your lenders. So you send one payment, they disperse it out, and the combination of that level payment plus the reduction in interest rate helps you pay this off 80% faster, because now every month you're sending a larger percentage of the balance because the balance is declining, and it's going to decline much quicker than it would otherwise because the interest rate is lower. So now a larger portion of each payment is going toward principal reduction. But the key is we've got to be on a more solid footing, because we've got to have the ability to send that consistent payment. It does no good if you get into the program and then, you know, you're missing payments. And I think, you know, the challenge with starting a new business, and I get, you know, you may be right on the cusp of this thing really starting to work. I don't know anything about your business other than to say, I know small businesses in the startup phase always take longer and more money than we expect. And so, you know, we've got to break the cycle, and whether that means you go get a part-time job, you know, that, you know, you're working double time here while you're getting this business off the ground or whatever it is, sometimes we have to make some hard decisions because, you know, there are real implications when it comes to a judgment for a credit card. And these balances are such that, you know, that's a real possibility. Because when it gets, you know, up to these levels, the credit card company can, you know, sue you for unpaid debt, and the court would issue a judgment, and that has pretty significant financial implications. First of all, it just confirms you owe the debt, and then they can use legal methods to force payment, and then it stays on your credit reports for up to 7 years, and it could include wage garnishment or a bank account levy or a property lien, things like that. So, you know, I think the next step here is to determine what do you need to do to be able to get to a place where you could start sending, you know, a consistent payment upwards of 3%. So in my case, you know, $780 a month. And if you could, then I would connect with our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org. They've worked with literally thousands of our listeners, Brandon. And, you know, they're all believers, and they could help walk you through this process of what it would look like to transition into the credit counseling plan for each of your current lenders. But give me your thoughts on all that.
You answered my question. I think.
Okay.
Basically, well, just getting back on track.
Yeah, exactly. And I know it's not easy. And listen, you know, this is weighing on you emotionally and financially, and you're trying to run this business, and you probably can't see the light at the end of the tunnel here, but there is one. We've just got to make the hard choices. We've got to deal with reality on how this business is doing and the prospects of getting it going. And we've got to start making progress on the debt. ChristianCreditCounselors.org is the website. We'll be right back.
American Family Association would like to thank everyone who participated in our Target boycott. AFA declared the boycott when Target announced it would allow men into women's dressing rooms and restrooms. Since the start of the boycott, Target lost over $2 billion in stock value. They've scaled back LGBT Pride Month products and added single-occupancy restrooms. Other corporations also reconsidered their policies in light of the Target boycott. Since it served its purpose, AFA has officially ended our Target boycott.
FaithFi is grateful for support from OneAscent. OneAscent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. OneAscent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good. To explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values, more information is available at OneAscent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
As an AFA insider, you're part of a community that stands strong for biblical values and works tirelessly to influence culture and policy with truth. Advancing biblical values and ensuring a stronger, upright America for our families and future generations. AFA Insider, formerly AFA Alert, informs you first about AFA's mission and aiding the church in its task of fulfilling the Great Commission. Sign up to receive AFA Insider emails at afa.net.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian Credit Counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian Credit Counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985, 800-557-1985.
Well, we'd always wanted to leave some of our money for God, but we didn't know where or how.
Bernie and Alice Larson are faithful supporters of the American Family Association.
We felt like this was put into our laps as answer to our prayers as to what we could do after we're gone.
You can learn more about charitable annuities and other financial products at afafoundation.net or call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. This is where we help you manage God's money each day, not to enrich ourselves, although there's nothing wrong with money. It's a good gift from God, but making sure that it doesn't object or doesn't occupy the place in our hearts that becomes where we're devoted. You know, we don't want to worship the creation over the Creator. So we want to help recenter you on a biblical worldview of money, but also help you make those practical daily decisions with respect to how you manage God's money. And that could be in managing your spending plan. It could be your investments for the future. It could be your debt management. Perhaps it's your giving. But whatever's on your mind today, you can call right now. We've got some lines open. The number is 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's head to Texas. Chris Ben, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Hi there. Love listening to your show and all the FR programs. For the first time ever, I'm a former teacher. I stayed home with my daughter when she was born. My husband was looking for a different insurance, health insurance company than his work, trying to find, shopping around for better insurance. We went with a smaller insurance company, and they have denied all of our insurance claims. And so it's just really devastating. Mm. And we've tried to fight them on it, and we're just wondering. I mean, I've had allergies for 20 years, and they denied all my allergy shots and my serums and all my thyroid issue. They denied it because they said it's, what is it called?
Pre-existing.
What's the terminal? Thank you. Pre-existing.
Yeah, sure.
Pre-existing conditions. And then even when my husband had to go to the cardiologist, they still denied that. And we're like, well, he didn't have any pre-existing conditions with his heart. This is new. So I'm just at a loss. I called the board of the State Board of Health Insurance, and they said they can't help me because it's not a Texas-regulated insurance. It is based in Texas, and I also researched it is certified. Unfortunately, I was trying to get them with that one. Maybe they're not certified. So what's the next step? We just go and just continue to file an appeal with a third party?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I'm so sorry. I know this is, especially when it comes to our health and just the incredible costs associated with care, it can be really challenging and weigh heavily on you, and that's not just financially speaking. You know, the first step is always to understand, and perhaps you have clarity on this, even though we may not agree with it, understand the reason for the denial. And so they have to explain why your claim was denied, and that could be pre-existing. It could be that the service is experimental. They might say it's not medically necessary, lack of pre-authorization. There could be any number of things. And then the next step is to check your policy and look for coverage details and exclusions, and then specifically the rules about the appeals, because if it was your claim was denied incorrectly, then you have grounds for appeal, and you would want to call the insurance company for clarification if the denial itself is unclear. The next step is always to gather your supporting evidence. So you want to get a letter from your doctor to explain why this treatment is necessary, collect your medical records. The other thing is that there can be errors in what are called billing codes. And so you want to ask your provider's billing department to confirm the correct medical codes were used, because if there's an error there, they can resubmit the claim with the corrected information. And then you may be to this level now, but then you're going to want to file that formal appeal. This is, your first level of that is going to be an internal appeal. Most insurers allow that, up to 180 days after the denial, but you'll submit an appeal letter with your policy number and the details and the explanation of why the treatment is necessary and any supporting documents, including your doctor's letter. And then I'd send that through certified mail or an online portal, something that's going to give you proof. And you can request an expedited review if this is something that's urgent. Now, if you're denied again, then you could, request an external review, depending on what kind of insurance this is. Under the Affordable Care Act, you can request an independent review by a third party, and they have to provide instructions on how to request that external review. You could also file a complaint with the state insurance commissioner who oversees, this area. And, you could ultimately seek legal assistance if you need to. So those are kind of the steps. And I realize it's lengthy and it's going to take some legwork on your part. But I think, that's really the path you need to follow.
Well, the difficult problem, thank you for all that advice. The difficult problem is we don't know that we're denied because the doctor doesn't tell us. So we won't know until, after the date of, the 6 months. It's real sneaky. So we don't know until I go back to the doctor's office. They're like, well, we're still sending to them. They haven't responded yet. And it won't be till later. And some of these bills are after the expiration time, unfortunately, of when we can, appeal it. So
have you already have the services already been rendered?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So at this point, they've already done it, and now you're just waiting to see if they're going to cover it?
Well, no. I mean, so there's so many different circumstances because there's so many bills. We gave them almost $7,000 last year, and just over the phone, I said, what did you cover? I want to know, what did you cover? And it was, thankfully, we're healthy people, and it was the one trip to the doctor where my daughter had a sore throat. And they covered that one thing. And I said, so you paid $300 out of the $7,000 that we gave you. So that's real. I know y'all were talking about, how do you break it down? Like, what exactly did we pay for in that, that throughout that year last year? I've got my serum for my allergy. And hopefully I'm helping somebody with all this talk. Hopefully I'm helping someone out there. But I had allergy serum and usually my insurance in the past, they'll pay half. And I only owe $700. Well, this time, or $750, and this time they didn't pay for any of it. And so I'm $1,500 short. And I just don't know how they can get away with that. Like, I've been doing, getting allergy shots for years. How can they deny that from a human? How is that, let's go back to the Affordable Health Care Act. Like, I just don't know how they can.
Well, I appreciate you sharing your story. I know this is exasperating, and I think you just need to stick with it. You need to ask for that explanation of benefits. That's something they have to provide you. That's going to show the service received, the amount billed, the amount covered, and then just stay on the insurance company and the medical provider. Thanks for your call. We'll be right back.
In rural Malawi, baby Esther was taken in by her grandparents when her mother died. Resources were scarce, and Esther suffered from malnutrition for years until God transformed her life. Today, through Cross International, Esther receives nutritious meals, drinks clean water, and is taught about the hope found only in Jesus. But other children are still waiting. Make an eternal impact on a child now with a $62 gift at crossinternational.org/faith.
We see and hear about the big public issues happening in our nation's capital, but what about the things that happen behind the scenes? That information can give us the whole story and help shape our opinions. That's why you need to listen to Washington Watch Weekend with Tony Perkins. He and his guests will give you all parts of the Washington news from a conservative Christian perspective. Catch Washington Watch Weekend Saturdays at 5:05 a.m. and 6 p.m. Central, and Sunday mornings at 3 Central on AFR.
Healthcare is complicated. It doesn't have to be. If you don't love how your health insurance works, maybe it's time to leave traditional health insurance behind. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers you flexibility. Enroll anytime. choose your own provider, and select the program that fits your needs and budget. CHM is the original faith-based way of taking care of your medical bill costs. Learn more at chministries.org/faithfi.
Financial fear is real, but so is God's promise to provide. At FaithFi, we know the daily stress of money can overwhelm your heart, but Jesus reminds us to look at the birds of the air. They don't worry, and yet our Heavenly Father feeds them. In Look at the Sparrows, a 21-day devotional, you'll find peace by focusing on God's faithfulness as you discover how to overcome financial anxiety with faith. Visit faithfi.com/sparrows and begin your journey with Look at the Sparrows today.
AFA Action takes attacks on the family seriously. The enemies of the family constantly employ new tactics to try to sneak past our radar. They know if we stand together, their evil plans will fail. Your gift to AFA Action allows us to stay vigilant against their onslaught. And if you give this month, you'll receive access to the Cultural Institute video, When Your Faith is Illegal, by Frank Harbor on AFA Stream as our thanks. You can make your gift today at afaaction.net.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. So glad to have you along with us today. We've got two lines open today. If you have a question you'd like to get in on the conversation, we'd love to have you. The number 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. You know, we opened the program today by talking about folks, and we just heard from a caller who's experiencing this, frustrated with traditional healthcare. We're having more and more folks saying, you know what, it's just not working for me, or we're consistently having challenges or problems, and there's any number of legitimate reasons for that. Well, some of the folks in our listening audience have taken advantage of health cost sharing through the Christian ministries that are out there, like Christian Healthcare Ministries, that's been a long time partner of ours here at Faith and Finance. And Paul, I believe you have experience with this type of alternative to health insurance. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, I certainly do. It's probably a decade or more ago. I had left a job, and they gave me a couple of months severance, which included paying the health insurance premiums for the group at that time. And so I had to start looking around. And so lo and behold, I look at Blue Cross and Blue Shield, and it's $1,400 a month.
Yeah.
And so I'm going, ouch, I don't know what I'm going to do. And on one of my local radio stations, they were talking about healthcare sharing. This is a concept I never even heard of before. And the one I ended up using was a different company than what you guys talk about, but it's the same concept. And I got, I guess, a couple of things. Most particularly, I will never forget, I was going in for a hip replacement, okay? Mm-hmm. I walk in there and they say, what's your insurance? And I said, I pay cash. You should have seen the look on their face. We had to work through that. And at least the system that I was involved with, I would file the expense reports, and then a rash of people that were signed up on the program would send me a card of encouragement with their payment. So I stack all the, I had a platter in my entry hall for the encouragement cards. And, of course, we move the money aside and use it to pay the hospital. But I just can't love it enough. Now, I've moved on to Medicare now, and this is working out fine for me. But for 10 years there or so, it was a lifesaver for me. It was great.
That's incredible. Well, I'll tell you, more and more people are sharing that type of experience, Paul, where this alternative to health insurance through the health sharing ministries that, by the way, is for believers and, you know, doesn't cover some of the things related to some of the vices that can drive up costs in the traditional health care, but brings both, you know, the care and encouragement that you point out with the ability to be self-pay. And as long as you get over that per incident minimum, then, you know, everything is paid for from the health sharing. And they've, at least in the case of Christian Healthcare Ministries, which is the oldest and biggest in this space, they've shared over $10 billion since they started. So it's massive, and tens of thousands of Christians are using it. And Paul, I'm so thrilled to hear that you've had a great experience. By the way, folks, if you'd like to learn more about Christian Healthcare's ministries, you can do that at chministries.org. Paul, thanks for calling today and sharing your story, sir. God bless you. Let's go to Oklahoma. Frank, how can I help?
Yeah. Biden signed in a bill, H.R. 82, and I believe that bill was for a Social Security Fairness Act, what it was called, and it was for teachers and firemen and police officers who have been mistreated in the past. And anyway, we're supposed to get a lump sum money, and I was told I could get up to $6,000 a year, but I don't believe that. But I was also told that my monthly Social Security, which is only about $500, would might double. So do you know anything about that?
Yeah, it's a great question because you're exactly right. Social Security Fairness Act was signed into law on January 5th, and it does change how Social Security benefits work for some people who are losing out on money that they earn. So essentially, it gets rid of two old rules we would talk about often here on the program, the windfall elimination and the government pension offset. So the windfall elimination was where Social Security benefits were reduced for people who worked jobs that didn't pay Social Security taxes like some government jobs, but also had other jobs where they did pay into Social Security. Now they're going to get their full Social Security benefit without reduction. And then the government pension offset, which is where the Social Security benefits for spouses, widows, or widowers, were cut if you got a pension from a job that didn't pay into Social Security. Now you can receive your full spouse or survivor's benefits. So it really is for anyone who worked a public job without Social Security taxes, or you also earned Social Security benefits, or you're a spouse or survivor, or a retired teacher who worked 20 years in public school. So if you're already getting Social Security, Frank, and you were hit by the WEP or the GPO, then your benefits should go up starting this year with a one-time payment to cover what you missed since January of 2024. So that's how far it goes back. The average increase they're saying is going to be about $360 a month. And then, you know, you'll get that one-time check as well, to make up going all the way back to January 1st of last year.
We don't know when this is going to happen.
We don't. They're working on it now. A lot of times these things take time to work their way through. It kicks in. It's effective as of January of this year. But the first adjustments they're saying that it's going to happen with the March 2025 payment, which is, of course, this month, because they needed a couple of months to make, you know, to update their systems. And then you're supposed to get that one-time catch-up payment this month as well. Whether or not, you know, it's going to happen this month, we'll see. But that's at least what they've communicated.
Yeah, another question I hadn't thought about till just here the last day or two. My wife passed away about 10 years ago, and should that affect my Social Security check? She was drawing a little Social Security off of what I drew.
Yeah. No, it does not, because with survivor's benefits, you can only get one or the other, and if your benefits were higher than hers, that doesn't affect your benefit at all.
Kind of what I thought.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for your time.
Okay, absolutely, Frank. Call anytime. We appreciate you being on the program, sir. We've got some lines open today, 800-525-7000. After the break, we're going to talk to Ann in Louisiana. She's got some credit cards. Perhaps you're in this situation. A few extras that are not in use. She wants to close them, and she's wanting to know, should I do that? And will that affect my credit score? We'll talk about that just around the corner. But in our final segment, we've got room to go whatever direction you'd like to go as well. So with your question, here on Faith and Finance, call 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you. By the way, if you'd like to support the work of Faith and Finance, help us reach more people with this message, consider becoming a FaithFi partner at faithfi.com. Just click give. We'll send you 4 issues of Faithful Steward, our magazine, plus all of our studies and devotionals pre-release. faithfi.com. Just click give. We'll be right back.
If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Discover the story of the culture warrior, Don Wildman, and how he went head-to-head with Hollywood, Playboy, the homosexual agenda, and the Disney empire. The movement Don started paved the way for Christians to boldly stand for truth and righteousness in a hostile culture. Watch Culture Warrior today for free. Visit culturewarrior.movie.
The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson.
We have not been made the greatest nation in the history of mankind. By denigrating God, we have become the greatest nation on earth because we are a nation that acknowledged Almighty God to be the source of our values, our rights, our liberties, and that therefore we are accountable to Him.
The Awakening on the podcast page at AFR.net.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
All the lines are full, so let's get right back to the phones here on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio to Louisiana. Hi, Ann. Thanks for your call. Go ahead. Hi, Ann. Hi. Are you with us? Hi there.
Yes, I am.
Sure.
My question is, I use one major credit card. I pay the balance off every month. I have it because it helps me keep a record of my spending, and I earn interest on it. So I have all these other credit cards just sitting around, and I want to close them, but I'm afraid it's going to affect my credit score if I do.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great question, and, you know, it's one that a lot of folks ask just because, you know, this can happen. Over time, you get some store cards or you get some old credit cards, maybe had a monthly fee, and now you've moved on to something else. And you are correct. I mean, it will affect your score. And it'll generally result in, a slight reduction, but one that's temporary. Now, I like the idea of you over time reducing the number of open and active credit cards, because that's just one less reason or one less account you have to keep up with. So that makes life easier to manage. If there's any annual fees, I'd like to get rid of that. You know, often they can run you $100 a year or something like that. So that would save money. And then this may not be an issue, but for some folks, there's the temptation with an unused card that might tempt you to, overspend. The reason that it does cause your score to go down is, number one, if you're carrying balances, and it doesn't sound like you have much in the way of balances you're carrying month to month, but if you are and you close a card, it's going to make the existing balance you have on the other card a larger percentage of the total available credit that's been extended to you. So let's say you have three cards and they've each, you know, extended you, you know, $5,000 in terms of a credit limit, and, you know, you owe a couple of thousand on one of them, and all of a sudden you close two of them, and now instead of having, you know, you owe a couple of thousand out of 15,000 total limit, you, when you close two of them, now all of a sudden you owe 1,500 out of 5,000 because two of them have gone away. And so your credit utilization goes up. That's a bad thing with regard to your credit score. The other thing is the length of credit history is 15% of your score. So older accounts, accounts that have been open a long time, boost your score. Well, if you close one of those old accounts out, it shortens the average age, which could hurt you slightly. It wouldn't be significant. And then, you know, the credit mix is the other one. So if you have different types of credit, like cards and loans, that helps. So closing a card could reduce the variety, but that would be very minor. So I think the bottom line is this. If you're not planning to go out and shop for a house or a car, you know, you don't have a real need for your credit score to be above a certain number in order to be able to qualify for the best rates and terms, and you've got four cards, I'd say maybe you close two of them this year and close two of them next year or something like that. Just to systematically reduce the number of outstanding cards. Now, your score could drop 20, 30, 40 points temporarily, but it'll come back. And I like the idea of you keeping one active where you have a maybe a small budgeted transaction that's hitting it every month. You pay it off in full, and that's going to ensure that you have a good, you know, ongoing reporting of you being an on-time payer with active credit. Does all that make sense, though?
It does. I am totally debt-free. I don't need any cards, really, but I do one, like I told you, for record keeping. And because it earns interest, I never, ever, ever in my life have had a credit card balance. Never in my life. I've always earned interest and paid it off in full.
Yeah, got it. Well, listen, if they're free, there's no annual report or there's no annual charge and you don't use them, you could keep them open because that's going to give you a longer credit history. And that's gold as far as your score is concerned. But, you know, if you decide to close them for simplicity and safety, because that's one less account that could be compromised, it could nudge your score down 10 or 20 points. But again, if you're not out shopping for credit, that's not the end of the world.
And I have never paid a credit card fee in my life.
Great.
And my next question, the previous caller called about.
Yes, sir.
I am a surviving spouse collecting Social Security, and my husband did work some jobs where he did not pay into Social Security because it was parish/government jobs. What will I be entitled to any more Social Security, and what do I need to do with this new what the guy was talking about?
Yeah. Well, the question would just be whether the survivor's benefits would be higher than the benefit you're collecting on your own work record. Is that true? You're collecting benefits based on your own work record right now?
No, I'm collecting on my deceased spouse.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm not collecting on my own.
Got it. So if there was any kind of government pension offset or windfall elimination, it will automatically increase. So there won't be anything you need to do about that if that was affecting you.
And I have to do nothing. It will automatically happen?
Yes, ma'am. It happens automatically, and it'll happen this month.
Oh, okay. Well, that's interesting.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you so much for taking my call, and I really appreciate it. And I think as it stands, I'll just let those cards sit. They're not going to bother me. And sometimes if you don't use them, they close it automatically. And I'm okay with that.
Yes, that's exactly right. They may, because they could make that credit available to somebody else who's not going to pay it as responsibly as you. And then they can earn some money on interest. Hey, thanks for your call today, Ed. Lord bless you. We appreciate you. To Tennessee. Hi, Lewis. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. My wife is a stay-at-home mother, and she hasn't worked outside the home in, I don't know, 25 years or so. And as far as Social Security goes, would it benefit us at all as my children, you know, begin to graduate and get out of the home, if she took a part-time job or something she might enjoy in order to, you know, increase her Social Security contributions, or would that really not benefit us much? Or should we just maybe take a little extra money and put it back, invest it somewhere else so that she doesn't have to do that?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, the key would be, in order for her to qualify for her own Social Security retirement benefit, she'd need 40 credits, which is 10 years of work under Social Security. So you earn one credit for every $1,730 in earnings, up to 4 credits per year. So even with very part-time work, she could earn enough credits over time to qualify, and that could result in her getting a small benefit. Now, the spousal benefit, though, may end up being higher, because if she doesn't work and you qualify for Social Security, she can get up to 50% of your benefit. So if she waits until her full retirement age, and as long as you go first and you're collecting, then she'll get, as a spouse, up to half of your benefit, which may end up, you know, being more than what she could get even if she gets to the 40 credits, because if she's worked very part-time and for most of these years not at all because she's been home, you know, with the kids, then, you know, you may find that her spousal benefit, which, again, she's going to get without any work at all, could end up being the higher number.
Okay, that's very helpful. That's very helpful. I really appreciate your help. Thank you.
Absolutely.
So much.
Thanks, Lewis. We appreciate your call today. Lord bless you. To Texas, hi, Ann. How can I help?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call today. My husband's father passed away in September, and the only asset he had was a vehicle. And we drove it from Texarkana to our home, and it's been parked in the driveway ever since. We've let the insurance company know that we're not driving it, let the lien holder know we're not driving it, and have asked them to come and take it. And they keep telling my husband that they're going to come take it, and they never do. Are they going to leave it here indefinitely? Does it somehow default to us without payment? You know, will they write it off, or are they going to require us to pay for it? We just don't know what to do at this point.
Yeah. Well, have you contacted the lender in writing and sent a, you know, formal certified letter telling them the owner has passed away and you don't want to keep it or assume the loan, and that you're requesting they repossess the vehicle?
Yes. We've sent them the death certificate twice. And have told them that, and no response to speak of other than them getting it to us. We did get a letter from them saying that they were going to send somebody to pick it up, but that was a month and a half ago.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, the key is, if you're not on the loan, you're not responsible for the payments. If the executor, you know, would normally notify the lender. Maybe that was you, and it sounds like you did, officially through the probate court. If you drive the vehicle, though, you could become liable for any damages, you know. So I think, you know, the next step would be to report an abandoned vehicle. So if the lender fails to act and the vehicle is sitting on your property, then you need to report it as an abandoned vehicle to the local authorities. And you could request a tow company to remove it. If they still don't do anything, you may want to consult the attorney that was involved in the probate, just to find out exactly, you know, what you need to do. You could notify the DMV as well, and they could force action from the lender. But it could create some legal issues, so I think you do want to go ahead and press into this, and perhaps the next call is to the attorney that helped with the estate. I hope that helps, Ann. I know this is probably something just you want to get off your to-do list, and I certainly can understand that. I hope that helps in some way. God bless you. Thanks for calling today. Lorraine, I apologize. We're not going to get to you today. We'd love to get you up first tomorrow. If you want to hold right there, Sandy, we'll see if we can get you scheduled for tomorrow's broadcast. Folks, if you'd like to get a copy of our new magazine, Faithful Steward, mailed to your mailbox, and all of our pre-release studies and devotionals, our new one, Wisdom Over Wealth, comes out next month on the Book of Ecclesiastes. Become a FaithFi partner at faithfi.com. It'll help us reach more people, and it's a great blessing to us. Faithfi.com, click give. Thanks to Devin, Sandy, and Taylor. Couldn't do it without them. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.